All right, a few technical difficulties, but we're off to a start. So this is the last session, and holy cow, these lights are bright. So this is the last session of the day, I think, right? My name's Nathan Totten. I'm a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft. I work primarily on Windows Azure, Node.js, and ASP.NET. Today... Thanks for coming. I don't have any slides. I am assuming that by 3 days, you guys have seen more slides than you ever want to see in your life. Am I correct? I can pull up an old deck if you want. And we thank you. I can pull up an old deck if you want, and we can spend some time on slides. But what I wanted to do, just since this is the end of the session, or of the conference, I wanted to just write a bunch of code. So hopefully, this is always risky because things can go wrong, but hopefully we can have some fun. So this session is called Building REST Services with JavaScript. My assumption is that some of you is, well, so this is a primarily a Node.js talk. I assume that you read the summary and know that. My assumption is that not all of you have used Node before. Is that how many have used Node before? Okay, and I assume a lot of you kind of are just interested. Is that correct? Raise your hand if that applies. Okay, perfect. So, so we're gonna do some stuff. We're gonna build a little app. We're gonna build a website, but we're gonna do a little bit of the getting started with Node. So, for some of you who are experts or have used Node, apologize for a bit of the repeat, but I don't want to leave everyone behind. We're gonna deploy to Windows Azure, deploy the website we build, build up some simple REST services using some of the Windows Azure services, connect up kind of a fun little website, and then if we have time, connect up actually a Windows Store application. Well, you'll see the UI in all these applications is incredible. We're using unstyled, unordered lists, unstyled text box, things of that nature. My UI skills are not amazing. So the very basic UI, but forgive me on that. I am certainly not a designer. And then if we have time, we'll talk a little bit about mobile services, some of this stuff. I don't think we'll have too much time to talk about that. So again, that's basically what we're gonna do. I'm gonna do again a lot of code. If you guys have any questions, I think we'll probably have some time at the end, maybe 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes. I'll be happy to answer questions. If something is confusing, just shout at me. Maybe stand in front of the microphone if you do have a question, or definitely stand in front of the microphone. They're recording this. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. Let me just switch over to my machine here. Does that sound good to everyone? Again, I want to try to have a little fun today, since again this is the last session, and everyone's probably hopefully you're having fun. So what we're going to do first is just start with a brand new Node.js application. So for those who haven't seen Node.js before, this might be not familiar, but those who have, again, you'll have probably seen this. So we're just going to start with an Express.js app. This is a very basic. Express is a framework for building web applications similar to what you would Rails or ASP.NET MVC. It's an MVC type framework for building Node.js applications. So Node is very much console based. Oh, the font's a little small in there. I apologize. Got most of the other fonts, but let me make this bigger just before we move on. No? Better? I can do zoom it too. Ooh, I love this little thing. Hello. Could spend all day just drawing on the screen. I'll draw everything in pictures. Like, little guy here. Did anyone watch Scott Hanselman's talk? I heard that he was telling me that he had some epic pictures. So, anywho. All right. So let's just make a new folder, and we're going to create a new Node.js application. Let's call this build. Since we're at build, this is just a blank directory. So for those not familiar with Node.js, we're going to use Node Package Manager. So we're going to install this Express module using npm Node Package Manager, and this is going to kind of wire everything up for us. So npm install Express. Let me zoom in there. fun stuff. So that is, again, using the package manager. For those that are familiar with NuGet, Node is Node package manager is very similar to NuGet. So we're going to install Express in our application. It's going to download a bunch of these modules, and then I'm actually going to use the Express command line that I've actually already installed to actually build up a base application. So I'm going to run npm install again on there to kind of pull in our dependencies. And then let's just open this guy up in my favorite Node editor, which would be Sublime Text. You could, of course, use anything if you want to use Notepad. You could use VS if you wanted, although it doesn't really have true Node support. So let's open this up and just see what we got here. Already got that one open. So this is our base Node application. We have some folders here. Contains kind of a default. This is kind of a default template with our routes, with our views. This is our base Node application. So to run this, I'm just going to go run node app.js, and Node is actually going to run this application locally. And I can pull this up in the browser. And we have a very exciting empty application. So what I want to do now is actually just show you how easy it is to use Express and Node to add a few simple services, and then how easy it is to actually publish this application up to Windows Azure. So of course, everything we're going to build today, the idea with building REST services is we're building cross-platform services, right? So these are all JSON services. They're all standard REST, standard JSON. So you can consume these from any device. Like I said, we're going to consume this service from a Windows Store, the services we built from a Windows Store application. But of course, you could consume these same Node.js services from any application, whether that's a Windows Phone app or even an iPhone or an Android device or just any desktop application. So the idea with these are very platform-neutral services that we're building, so you can build backends for any type of application. So let's go back to our app here and just add a few very simple APIs. So let's just do a get here, API test. Function, response. So this is our basic. This is basically our route in our Node.js application. And make sure that's quite big enough. And we're just going to do a simple. Let's actually return response JSON, and return just some simple JSON ID. To. Name something. So that's really all you need to wire up a very simple JSON get in Node.js. So this is all JavaScript. Looks very familiar for anyone who's written client-side JavaScript. And this is basically a service to return a JSON object. We can do, and this is using, a get request. We can do the same thing for a post if we want to receive data. API test. And then let's add a value, so ID or something. Function rec response, and in here we can actually just let's do console log request body. So Node, let's get rid of that. So Node actually, so Express has a really nice feature to it. It has this body parser. Sorry, let me zoom in. So this body parser here, which was already set up in the, I meant to use the square one. It's just so fun, I can't resist. It's like magic. Every time, I've been using it for years, I still love it. So this body parser basically sets up some default parsers for our application to receive data. This is similar, for those who are familiar with MVC, this is similar to how it does bindings for like a JSON post or from query string parameters or XML form data, in XML encoded form data in a post. And this body parser sets all of that up. So actually, without doing anything, this request body object is actually going to be a full JSON object. So let's just run this and see what we have. Let's run this again. Does anyone remember which one was mine? This one's already open, I think. Don't want to have that. Now I don't know which one to drink. Sorry. I'm going to start over. I should have done that in the beginning. Elio was before me. I don't know what he's been up to now. So, anyway. All right, so we've got this application running. Let's just pull this open. Actually, let's use our friend Fiddler here. And we're just going to make a simple request. API test. We're going to do a get first and execute this. And you see here, let's go to the raw view. So you see here, with very little effort, we've now produced a JSON service that returns a JSON object of ID and name. Not super exciting, but really quite easy, only a few lines of code. The other thing we can do is, of course, do a post and actually send data. So let's actually just send that same JSON data back to our API post and content type, if I could spell correctly, application. JSON. So we're going to set our content type to JSON, and then we're actually just going to post that same message back. And let's pull up our console because we did console log there, execute, and there we see that we actually have our JSON was posted back. So that's really the most fundamental thing for building a very simple API using Node.js, a REST API in JavaScript for sending and receiving data from the server. So now that we have that built, let's just publish that to Windows Azure. Obviously, this isn't very useful. We'll certainly add to it. But I want to actually show you how awesome and how easy it is to publish a Node.js application to Windows Azure websites and how we can do a very simple continuous integration. So how many people have used Windows Azure websites before? So just a handful, 10-20% maybe. So Windows Azure websites, for those not familiar, is a very scalable, very open platform for publishing applications. We, of course, have excellent support for ASP.NET applications, and we have support for PHP. We also support a variety of languages, and then, of course, Node.js. So there's, in addition to a variety of different languages in Windows Azure websites, we also support a variety of different publishing options. So if you are traditionally an ASP.NET developer, use Visual Studio. We, of course, support Web Deploy, which is a super easy, amazing way to deploy to Windows Azure websites. We also support deployment from, FTP if you wanted to go the old school route. We also support a variety of other deployment options, including Git. You can deploy using Git source control directly to Windows Azure websites. We also support continuous integration from a variety of different source control servers. So you could actually use our TFS services to do continuous integration to deploy to Windows Azure websites. You can actually even use third-party services like CodePlex or GitHub or Bitbucket. What I'm going to show, crafty. Was that me or did someone else do that? Or is my fiddler just like going, it's become self-aware. Everyone run. It's not very useful though, I guess. So anyway, we support, again, continuous integration from a variety of different publishing platforms. What I'm going to show you is publishing actually from Git. I think the most common source control for Node developers is probably to use Git. We certainly support Git from our TFS services, our hosted TFS service. And then again, obviously GitHub supports Git. So what I want to show you is basically how easy it is to do continuous integration and deployment to Windows Azure websites with a Node application using GitHub. So let me just go over to my GitHub account, and I'm actually just going to create a brand new repository. The interwebs. Oh, yeah. I don't know why Fiddler's been doing that. Probably a Windows 8 thing. So I'm going to close Fiddler, and then hopefully the interwebs will work. There we go. And so let me create a new repo called something at something build. I don't know. There we go. Something build. We'll make it public, and we'll just leave it empty. All right, so let me go back over to my console. So let's stop this. So I have this very simple application. Actually, one thing I want to do really quick before I forget is add a gitignore node modules. So for those who have worked with Git before, you'll know this gitignore file basically tells us which things to ignore, to not include in source control. And I'm actually going to leave out the node modules, which was that Express and other modules we used at the very beginning, this folder. This is sort of like, for those who are familiar with NuGet, this is sort of like your packages folder in NuGet. You generally don't want to publish these to source control. So I'm telling Git to actually ignore these. And what's really cool is when you publish in a variety of ways to Windows Azure websites, we'll actually look at your packages.json file and pull in the modules you use. So what this means is, for one, you, of course, don't have to store your modules in source control, which is generally a bad idea. But two, your publish is quite quick, because we're only actually publishing the little tiny bits of code that are our application right now. So the publish, as you'll see, is very fast. And then we on Windows Azure websites will pull in those modules and get them ready for you to use. So now we have our gitignore. I'm just going to actually initialize this as a new repository. I'm going to add that GitHub remote that I just created. Git remote. Oh, thank you. Remote add origin. It's much easier when you guys help out. Like sometimes when I'm presenting, like, you'll make a mistake and, you know, people will just let you carry on for a while, and then, you know, you're like, publish everything, you get on, and there's a big moment, and oh, nothing works, and then someone's like, oh yeah, I noticed that a half an hour ago. Like, oh, thanks for sharing. So thank you, I appreciate that. If I make any other mistakes, please shout at me or throw things. Don't really throw things. So we've got a Git remote. I'm going to add our code to this repository now and commit that something first stuff. Very explicit. The engineering team loves my commit messages. So then I'm going to push this up to Windows Azure Origin. Oh, sorry. Actually, no. Let me. So we've got this. Let me do it in one step so we can see how fun and fast it is. So now I've got my Git source set up. I have an empty repository. Now I actually want to just create a brand new website for us to use. And I'm going to configure that website for source integration. So let's call this build demo 13. Someone stole my... No, I don't know. Of course someone... we'll publish this to West US. Of course, we can select whatever region in Windows Azure we want. West US is obviously the closest one to us. So we'll select that one. Create my website. Just takes a few seconds. Oh man, I need to talk faster. Sorry. I only had one Red Bull before this talk. I usually have two. So we've got our website set up, and now we can set up our variety of different publishing options. So like I said, TFS, we can push directly, we can set Windows Azure Websites publishing server as a remote source for our repository. We can also publish from Dropbox, which is cool for If you just want to share some files really easily or share a website really easily, Bitbucket, CodePlex, or various other ones. So we're going to do GitHub, though. So I'm going to set up GitHub integration. It's going to do an authorization. It's going to ask me to authorize. I've done this about a million times before, so it's already authorized. And then it's going to pull up a list of all the GitHub repositories that I have access to, which is about 5 million. So it's going to take me several minutes to find the one what did I call it? Something build. There we go. And then we're going to select the branch. So we could set up actually multiple branches if we wanted to have, say, like a dev branch and have a dev build or integration process. We could have a dev branch. We're just going to use our master branch. So I'm going to set that up. It's now going to do its wiring up magic in the background. And it's actually going to the first time we set this up, it's going to look in our Git repository and see if anything's in there and try to pull it in. I haven't actually put anything in our repo yet, so nothing is in here. So we should be all set up now. Your repository is linked. And let's refresh that just so we get... So there's nothing in there. So now what I'm going to do, and let's go again back over here, and again, this is empty. So now we've committed this. Let's just push this source up now to GitHub or git push origin master. So we're going to push this to the origin, which we set as GitHub, and the master branch. And we've pushed that up. Let's refresh here and see we have now our source in here. And actually, quite quickly, Windows Azure Websites has picked up that change. GitHub actually sent a push, a post URL, actually to Windows Azure, to our deployment server. We picked it up, and now they're actually deploying it. And you'll see... if I did everything right, hopefully I did, it will just take a couple seconds. And it's actually now, again, downloading the source, and then it's also looking in that packages.json file, pulling in all the modules that we're using. And there we go. First stuff is deployed. Let's browse to our newly deployed website. And there we go. We've got our site set up with our extremely fancy test. If only there was a browser that displayed JSON right in the window and he didn't have to use Notepad. If such a thing existed. So IE11 is actually pretty awesome if you haven't tried it out. The dev tool, I've just been playing, I think there was a whole session Jonathan Carter did, if anyone saw that. I didn't have a chance to watch it, but I want to go back and watch it. The dev tools in IE11 actually seem quite cool. So anyway, we have our API set up. Very simple. Of course, we could consume this from any device or service, just a standard JSON service. So that's Windows Azure Websites. Quite simple. If you're not familiar with Windows Azure Websites, definitely encourage you to check it out. This continuous integration is super easy. We also give you a bunch of cool things. The auto scale features that were just announced yesterday during the keynote. You can of course set your node server to scale automatically or just scale as you want. You can set up things like SSL certificates. You can set up custom domains, both A records and C names. All of course apply for not only Node.js but all the languages all the languages and frameworks we support in Windows Azure Websites. But we're not here to talk about that. So let's do something a little more interesting with our service now. So we've got our two really simple APIs. What I want to do is actually add a very simple service that, or a slightly less simple service, I guess, that actually uses Windows Azure Table Storage. So I'm just going to make something basic that saves some data to Windows Azure Table Storage and then retrieves that data as a JSON service. So Windows Azure Table Storage is just almost a key value pair. It's a schemaless storage service that allows you to save your data in the cloud in Windows Azure. Windows Azure Table Storage and our other storage services are highly scalable, very flexible, support a large amount of data, and also extremely inexpensive. So we're going to use that. It's a nice fit for Node.js. The schemaless nature of it means we don't have to like set up or configure our tables or columns. All we have to really do is throw any data in and pull data out. So makes it really easy. So let's go ahead and add a few new services to our application. API, let's call this person. Let's save some people. Function, request, response. And actually, before we do that, let's probably should set up, since we're going to, let me just put these here, app post. So we're going to do a post and a get. The get is actually going to use query by ID, and the post is just going to post a new person object. So we have two new methods here. So this guy here is kind of a placeholder, this colon ID, and we can actually use the standard Express API to sort of retrieve those values, requests params.id. That's actually how we would access the ID object that we've sort of put in our route here. We'll use that in a second. So we've got our two routes set up for posting and querying a person. Since we're going to use Windows Azure, I'm going to install the Windows Azure SDK for Node.js. Again, I'm going to use npm for that, npm install Azure. And then I'm going to save that to my JSON file, as you see there, or to my package.json file. Oh, man. I'm really bad at it, even though I love it. All right. So just for those not familiar, that WackWack save actually automatically saves the package we're using, which in this case is called Azure, automatically saves that to our package.json file. That way, when we republish that to Windows Azure websites or any other service, it'll actually know that there's a dependency in there. That's why we do that save. So it's going to download and install Windows Azure. The Windows Azure SDK, not all of Windows Azure. That would be sort of weird. So we've got that installed, and then let me just show you really quick. So that now our package.json file is set up to have our Azure dependency there. So now let's use. I got some code snippets here for time. So the first thing I'm going to do is table. So this is our basically our API for. Oops. Knew I forgot something. Azure nconf. So the first thing I'm going to do is actually use a little module, which I need to install. Skipped a step. Nconf. Getting too excited. Missing. All right. So I'm going to use this other module called nconf. This is actually, with Windows Azure websites, we actually pass, we actually have a configuration, which I'll show you, which you can actually pass settings as environmental variables to a Node.js application. You can set these in the portal. What I'm doing here is I'm using nconf, which is a simple configuration library that says it's basically telling us retrieve configuration values from the environment, or if that's not available, if there's no value for these, retrieve them just from these settings. So right now I have a storage account that I've pre-created, and I'm just actually going to use those if the environmental variables are there, which when I publish to Windows Azure, though, I could, of course, change those to my production values. And now I'm going to actually use the Windows Azure table storage APIs from the SDK to actually create a table service and then actually create a table if it doesn't exist. So let's call this people. This is already created. Let's call it people 2. And we can browse actually in the Server Explorer. We can browse, see which tables are available, and let's just delete this one, and then we can keep the name the same. So it's there we go. This is our table service account we're using, and I just deleted the table in there. So we're going to create that if it doesn't exist using the SDK for Node, and then just do a couple things here. We're going to do a query for the first one, Azure Query Entity. So we're gonna query our table service for any people that exist, any rows of people that exist. We're going to just get our name and our ID, and we're going to use that again, that that request param ID value, and query Windows Azure table service. Now we also need to insert an entity, so I'm going to use the Azure SDK for Node again, the table service, to install or to do the insert. And we'll do a little snippet there to save some time. And so inserting is pretty easy. And so I mentioned that table services is schemaless, which fits very nicely into Node.js, into a JavaScript application. So I haven't set up the entity. I haven't set up any columns or anything. But I'm actually specifying the data I want to save to table services, again, without any pre-configuration, like you'd have to set up columns or whatever in, say, SQL or MySQL or anything like that. And then I'm just inserting that. So I'm sort of inserting arbitrary data. You can actually, the interesting thing about table services in this regard is you can actually have you can have even different schemas, like not every row has to have the same data. Not every row even has to be of the same type. There's some really interesting things you can do, you know, maybe putting two related entities together. And there's various reasons you do it for, like, for scale and how our partitioning system works, which I won't get into. But there's some interesting things you can do. And again, it fits very nicely into a Node.js app because it's schemaless. If we wanted to add data, you know, add a different object, birthday, or whatever, you know, we wouldn't have to, well, this should be probably a date, but, you know, we wouldn't have to actually do anything, again, in the table service configuration and the column configuration. We just have to add that, and it magically is saved. So we have our more robust APIs set up now. So let's test this locally just really quick to make sure I didn't make any mistakes, and then we'll deploy this up to Windows Azure again. App.js. And it runs, so it probably works, right? We didn't, as long as it compiles, right? So that's all I really want to test. So let's now add this up, and because our deployment's so fast, even if I did make a mistake, it's not that big a deal. So let's add that, git, and then let's commit that. Added person APIs. And let's git push origin master. And you'll see that in just a couple seconds, it's going to deploy that up to Windows Azure again. Already by the time I got there. Another cool thing about the continuous integration with Windows Azure websites when you're building these kind of services or any website really is we allow you to very easily roll back. So after this is deployed, I could actually easily select this, and once this isn't the active one in just a second, we could actually select this and click this redeploy button and actually very easily in just a few seconds roll back to an old version. So it makes it very easy to quickly iterate your site and very easily to roll back if you make a change. I actually talked with one customer who builds a pretty large Node.js application on Windows Azure, and they do something like 30 deployments a day on their production application. They've got a fairly complicated continuous integration and automatic testing process, but they deploy basically any change or update they make. They deploy like 30 times a day, literally just right into production to Windows Azure websites, and works quite well. So now that we have this, deployed, this guy, API, let's copy that, and let's go back to Fiddler and break our other web browsers. I don't know if I'm using Fiddler wrong, or I don't know what. So API person, and so let's now save that same person object that we did before, or a similar one actually to Windows Azure using this API. So ID 1 and name Nathan. So just, again, a very simple JSON object we'll save there. The one thing you'll notice is I actually made the ID a string, and that's because I didn't do any conversion. So the row key that we're going to save this is sort of the, you could think of it as almost the primary key in table storage, is actually only accepts a string type. So rather than deal with converting my put something crazy in there, I'm just going to put that as a string. But we could, you know, make the ID anything we want, but let's just do one for simplicity. So let's execute that. And oops, content type application JSON. And then let's execute that. And we've saved that. Now we should, if all went according to plan. Have a person service. Yep, with a rope. So there's our table, and this is the Server Explorer for Windows Azure. That's it's available in Azure SDK 2.0 it's actually only available in Server 2012 right now. But it'll be available soon on VS 2012. It'll be available soon in 2013. So we have our partition key, which is sort of that's a scale entity. We've got our row key, which is one, and then we've got our name. And now we can query that just as easily. Let's go back to Fiddler and person one. And this time we're going to do a get and execute that. Our raw view, and you see here we've returned our person object. So really, really pretty simple. Nothing too fancy, you know. Nothing too complicated, but really, I think that, you know, that's the beauty. That's why I really like Node.js for building services, just because building JSON services, it's of course very easy to do in JavaScript. So you end up with a very simple model that works both on the server and on the client. So you can write JavaScript in both places. You don't have to deal with complex serialization or anything like that. You basically just you send any object, you know, as you would any JavaScript object in Node, and it just sort of gets automatically serialized in JSON, and then you can sort of consume that object in basically the exact same way on the client if you're building a browser app, or you can use one of the many serialization libraries for consuming those objects on a device like a Windows application. So that's really the first thing I want to show, is basically, like I said, building simple APIs. The next thing I want to do is a quick demo of doing some real-time connected applications. So this is where Node.js is where a lot of people use Node.js is for these real-time connected scenarios, which basically building like a real-time app like chat, or delivering real-time information like stock information or weather or whatever in real-time. So there's a lot of applications that do that. And Node performs quite well in that regard for the real-time applications, just in the way Node works. So Socket.io is again a library that abstracts away some of the real-time complexities for dealing with a variety of different protocols for doing real-time communications, whether that's web sockets, regular sockets, long polling, anything like that. If you've used SignalR for .NET, very similar idea to Socket.io on Node. So now I want to add a simple real-time application to this Node app that we've built, and then hopefully if we should have time to then connect that app actually to a Windows Store application. So let's go back to our app and do npm install socket.io and save that again. Just pulling in all those dependencies. So now we have socket.io IO configured, and let's just go back to our application here. So first thing I'm going to do is actually just return, instead of, we need to actually now reuse this server object, so I'm just going to create the server and return that, and return the server object so that we can reuse that with our socket.io function. So socket server, I already had it in my snippet, that's all right. Just kill one of those. So using socket.io, super easy. We're just reusing our Express server, bringing in socket.io, and then we're setting some of the configurations some of the configurations for socket.io, and then let's just actually set up our connection. So basically. Socket.io, it's just responding sort of to messages. So we're first going to connect, and then we're going to or we're going to respond to a connection, and then we're going to listen for when we send a message, just an arbitrary name for the event that we're sending, and I've called it message, and then we're going to rebroadcast that same data we received from the message out in another event that I've called news. So this is really all we need from the server side to enable a real-time application. So let's run this. Oops, I probably should configure some sort of a view here. So I actually also have a view. What we're going to do is just build, this is where my amazing UI skills come in, index. And you see here, very fancy, we have an unordered list. Let's actually put that below. And we have an input and a button. So I'm an expert UI developer. So we're going to use, Socket.io. And the really cool thing about Socket.io, and like I was saying with Node.js, just for the symmetry between the client and the server, is you'll notice here that the APIs are nearly identical, or in fact identical in many ways, on the client and the server. So this is the script that's going to be executing in our browser to handle the real-time communication, which is very similar, socket on news. So this is really cool, right? You get sort of the same... API, and you use the same code regardless of whether you're on the client or the server. And actually, we'll show that we can do the same thing using, again, the same API, the same actual JavaScript library that runs on the client in a browser. We can actually run that in a Windows 8 application. We'll do that here in just a second. So let's save this, and then let's run this locally. Node app.js. And looks like we've done everything correctly. And open up the browser. And let's go over to our local version. Click refresh. So now I've updated very fancy UI. Feel free to applaud at that. All of you are jealous, I know. How could I ever have made something so beautiful? Okay. So we've got a very simple server here. We're going to just, let's send a message. Basically, it's a little chat server. Sends real-time messaging. Of course, that's not very interesting in one browser, so let's pull up this other, let's pull up one of these other guys. How about this one? And let's go to same place, localhost 3000. And hello from Chrome. And we can send a message back through the Node server that's running on the server and do basically this real-time socket connection between browsers. So let's publish this up, and then we can consume this very same API from actually a Windows Store application. So and then you guys can play around with it too while I'm talking. Git add. Git commit, added signal, oops, not signaler, socket IO, git push. And again, we'll just push that up to the server, and we'll see that in just a few seconds that'll be deployed to Windows Azure websites. What happened? Refresh. Sync. Oh, my fiddler is open. Foiled again. Refresh then. Keep that closed. Tricky guys. Causing all kinds of confusion. All right, yeah, so we got our Socket.io server, and it's actually probably already deployed. That's nice. Part of the yellow, yeah. It's a bit weird in IE11. Doesn't quite like it yet. Oh, yep, it's already done. So now let's go over to our app and load that, and now we actually have, oh, man. It's coming to life. Crafty. check. All right, so we see, and we'll see that's it actually, let me copy that. It's not fake. Outrageous. Oh, man. So yes. It's actually just an animated GIF. So now, this was completely unplanned. Excellent. Now we're just going to... Now I'll just watch this for the rest of the time. So, oh, now we've got advertisements. We gotta better get this close. So, all right. So now we've got. So now let's do the same thing. Let's actually consume this application from a Windows Store application. And again, this is going to be using the same JavaScript, the same client side API. So our fun Windows Store, we'll just choose a blank Windows 8.1 application in JavaScript. And let's open up this one. I cheated and I didn't actually create a snippet. So I'm going to just copy this and paste this. So a couple. Actually, first thing I should probably do is add the, JavaScript. So I'm actually going to retrieve the same JavaScript library that we used in the browser app. We're just going to actually use that same one for the client. So socket.io.js, and let's just copy all of that, and we're going to make a new. Just use again that exact same one in our application here. So let me just create a new JavaScript file. Add new JavaScript file. And socket.io.js. And again, this is unmodified, which is really nice. Can use this same thing on the client. And yeah, so now we wire it up, and this again, you'll see this is really exactly the same as what we did on. Oh geez, now you guys are figuring it out. You didn't. Yes, I have clearly left off any sort of security or anything. Now it's going to be really hard to finish the demo, isn't it? Oh no, it's taking over. All right, I'm going to close this and then we'll use it again. Now we'll see if it's probably, I don't know what that sort of stuff is going to do to our Windows 8 app. It's probably just going to crash or something. So we've got, now we do need to set this to connect to our server running in the cloud. And let's just go ahead and run this and see what, we need to change my UI first. And again, the beauty of my unordered lists. And now let's see what obscene things you people are doing once we get this running again. I'm a bit worried. I don't want to run it now. All right. So it should be all wired up at this point. Let's run it and see what happens. Oh, what happened? What do we do? Add a script reference. JS socket.io.js. There we go. Now let's run it. And now it should work, unfortunately. Yeah, okay, so that's good. So at least that won't work on our Windows 8 app, so we're safe for now. Oops. Yeah, I've ruined your fun. I apologize. It's going to now... It's going to be a mess when I do this. Uh, There we go. And just to prove that it is working. There we go. All right. Get rid of these. Can't have that. Thank you. Woo. We survived without anything that's going to get me fired being recorded. So I really should probably do some sort of, I don't know, we maybe should not deploy that version. So all right, so we let's see what else we have. We got the Windows Store app. So that's really, that's probably about it. How many people have seen Windows Azure Mobile Services, like in one of the other, there's been a bunch of sessions on it, so I don't know if I want to spend too much time. We can probably do like 5 minutes of QA. Has anyone seen one of the mobile services sessions yet? Oh, not that many. Okay. Drastically underestimated. Did you guys watch the keynote on day two? Raise your hand if you were hungover and you didn't go. I tricked all of you. Some people raised their hands still. I noticed. I was paying attention. It was completely full on day one. Some of the seats were empty on day two. I know what you guys are doing. So anyway, so I'm not going to go into too much depth on this, but Windows. So what I've talked about before is in the first part is Windows Azure Websites. So Windows Azure Websites is again allows you to run a variety of different application types in a variety of different languages with several different deployment options in the cloud. Just a sort of an open platform. Mobile services is a little bit different, but mobile services is also a really nice way to build cross-platform applications. So mobile services is actually basically a set of services for building connected mobile applications. So it's kind of the way to think of it is sort of like you don't have to do a lot of work yourself, right? There's a bunch of features already sort of built into mobile services, like data storage. There's APIs and services to do authentication to Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft accounts, anything like that you would need to do from a mobile app. You can save data similar to what we did with table storage, but actually using mobile services API, which is really quite easy, built in, all kind of included in the mobile services SDK. You also have scheduled tasks you can run. You can manage things like, which I won't get into. There's plenty of other content. I recommend watching sort of some recorded content. Josh Twist did a great session on mobile services. But you can do push notifications. You can do, again, identity. And then also custom APIs. And this is the thing I just briefly wanted to touch on. So the really cool thing about mobile services is it actually uses Node.js for writing APIs. So you can actually write a custom API or write sort of hooks related to your data in mobile services. But you actually write these. You can write them in the browser here. You can write them in the Visual Studio Editor. There's an integrated editor. You can also do Git publishing, similar to what we did to Windows Azure Websites. But you can basically write these little Node.js scripts and host custom services named, like this script is basically called Do Something. So again, I'm not going to go into too much depth into this. I think there was like 3 or 4 sessions on it. So I definitely encourage you, if you're interested in, to watch those. But this is a really great way to get started, especially if you're the type of developer who wants to spend more time on the front end, building your Windows Store app, your Windows Phone app, your iPhone app, whatever it may be, and less time on the service side. This really gives you a great starting point. So another really great way to write REST services in JavaScript. So we've got about 6 minutes left. That's really about all I have for the day. So if you have any questions, please feel free to come up to the microphone. It can be about this, Node.js, or just general Windows Azure questions. I'll try to answer other things like, astronomy or something, but I probably won't be very good at it. So go ahead.
I don't think it's on. We have a situation where we have a REST. We are trying to set this up with a REST call, and it's, service /blah/blah/?select=, and the select is a SQL select.
Yep.
So it can be 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 characters, and we have customers that truly do have ones that are easily over 10,000 characters. URL length's too long. So if we do a post and put it in the body, we're totally violating REST.
No, so sorry, I know a lot of people are leaving. I know it's the last day, so if you're, feel free to leave. You don't have to stay for the Q&A. Thank you very much for attending. So, and then I'll answer your question. Probably have to catch flights and stuff. I don't think there's any reason why you wouldn't want to put, it's totally okay to put like data for a post in the body of a REST service. I mean, that would be like actually the standard way to do it. Like,
but we're doing a get. In other words, we're not actually giving it any info. We're just asking for information. So it truly belongs being in a get. It's just there's that limit of the URL length.
Yeah, I'm not. Let's chat afterwards. That sounds. I'm not entirely sure I understand. So what the data in the I don't know. I've never seen something like that where you'd have so much data in a get that you would actually need to.
It's when you have very complex selects listing what it is you want.
Okay.
Extremely complex selects.
Yeah, that's. It sounds very complicated. I don't really know if I have a good answer for that. Maybe let's chat afterwards and see if we can find a solution. Yeah, go ahead.
You had published an alpha of SQL Server support.
Yep.
And it never got past alpha and hasn't been updated in months. And what's going on there? How can I get to SQL Server from Node.js?
Yeah, so... I'm not actually sure. I don't actually work on that, but there's actually a really good solution that's not that product. I don't know if you've seen Edge.js. Tomek did a talk yesterday, I believe.
That was my next question.
Okay, so that's actually I've actually played around with that with SQL, and that's actually a really good way to do SQL. And of course, that solution only works on Windows right now because it requires .NET. But if you are on Windows and you're publishing to like Windows Azure websites, Edge.js is a great way to do that because basically like you can use, I mean, you could use, ADO.NET or you could use even like Entity Framework or something like that and call .NET code that could be your SQL data layer and call that from Node.js. And that actually like is a super fast and very high performance way to call SQL. I believe, although I'm not entirely sure, Tomek would be a better person to answer this, but I believe that actually is significantly more performant than the native module they were building. I don't know what the status is on I can give you my card and I can find out. I know the person who writes it. I just actually don't know the status on that the SQL module they're building. I don't know if they're replacing it with Edge or if it's just that they haven't had a chance to work on it.
The man who wrote Edge said it is not supported by Microsoft. Is it recommended for production code or what's the status of
the
Edge?
Edge?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Edge is certainly it is his kind of own project, but I don't know. That's kind of the same way that like Express.js isn't supported by Microsoft, right? Tomek could probably recommend if it's production ready or not. I'm not sure exactly, but like, you know, the thing is like again, it isn't a Microsoft product, but like many, you know, every Node module you use is also not a Microsoft supported product. Like we'll support the, you know, the platform supported and stuff. But yeah, I would say like that's, I don't know, it's
and
more
you
up
said
to
there
you.
There was a session that mentioned Edge.js.
Yeah, he actually, I believe it was yesterday, and all the sessions are recorded, so it should be on Channel 9. It's probably, I think it's a few days to get him on Channel 9, but yeah, I believe the session was just called Edge.js, maybe. But yeah, he did a session. There's also, he does have a bunch of other content on Channel 9, so just search for Edge.js, and there are several videos. And he's done a lot of blog posts, too. So, yeah, cool. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question related to Windows Azure. With using Node.js, did you guys, how easily is it to scale the application?
I mean, it depends on what you're doing. Like, you can certainly write a very scalable application. We have customers running on Windows Azure websites that have, you know, like millions of active users running a Node.js application on on Windows Azure running millions of, you know, millions of active users, things like that, like hundreds of thousands of requests an hour or whatever. So like it certainly can scale. I mean, specifically like how you scale your application is a very broad, you know, very broad question. If you build your app though, kind of the, I don't know, the general approach, if you build your application to be like, you know, stateless and you know, you and you know, you could scale up to like many different servers and things like that.
Most of our applications are they're not stateful, and most of the files that we would like to scale would be static files. So
okay, yeah. So if that's the case, I mean, it usually should just be. I mean, you know, you need to write good code, but it's usually just a matter of like Windows Azure websites. You can scale up. Like from what I did was just the one instance, like it's actually the free version of Windows Azure websites all the way up to like you can buy large VMs and have say like 10 or you can get more of them if you need. So yeah, you certainly can build very large high scalable applications on Windows Azure. I mean from a node perspective of like how you write the code that, you know, makes your particular app scale, I think it depends on your app, but generally speaking, you can build very scalable applications on Node.js and Windows Azure.
So Azure is backed up by a CDN or something?
We have a CDN. It doesn't, there's a CDN service you could use. There's a lot of strategies. So like one, if you had a lot of static content like images and stuff, you could toss those in our blob storage, serve them directly from blob storage. You could use our CDN to serve them from our CDN, and then, you know, only use like say your Node application for your dynamic content and stuff like that. There's different strategies that, and these aren't specific necessarily to Node. You could add things like caching service. You could deploy a Memcache server if you wanted to and have that running in a VM or something. So there's a lot of different ways to scale.
All that is easy to do with this console.
Yeah, right in the, yeah, I mean, there's like, in the portal, there's, I mean, yeah, so I only showed like a few different pieces of Azure, but we have many, many parts of it. So we have like Windows Azure websites, what I showed, you can do virtual machines, you know, deploy a Linux or a Windows virtual machine and run whatever you want on it. We have databases, the storage is what I showed, table storage, we have like blob storage for standard binary files. Service bus, which the previous session I believe was about, or that might have been about notifications, but service bus allows you to do like messaging, so you can build like loosely coupled applications. We've got a bunch of other stuff. We also support. We have this what we call add-ons, which actually allows you to buy like we have like through third parties. You can buy like MongoDB and things like that with integrated billing. So there's a lot of different options for building a scalable application. I think the short answer is you certainly can build a very large, very scalable application on Azure with Node.
All right. Thanks. So.
At the moment, you can only deploy to Azure websites, right? Can you deploy to an Azure web role?
You can.
Node.js.
You actually can deploy to a web role if you wanted to. It's not as like you can't do Git if that's what you're at. Like you can. There are other ways to deploy. I mean, you can run a Node.js application in a web role if you wanted to. The deployment model is a little bit different. You use the service package and you kind of deploy that up via the command line tool. It isn't Git.
Okay. And also, with SignalR, you have like this service bus now, this Azure service bus, you know, that like allows you to send like multiple messages. Is there something similar for Socket.io?
Yeah, there's actually a service bus backing store for Socket.io as well, very similar to what SignalR uses. So yeah, you can do the exact same thing if you need to scale out to multiple servers.
And regarding you today showed table storage, is that kind of like the Microsoft proposition for working with Node.js, and I mean, is that like the database solution?
It's just one of the. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can store.
Yeah, because I mean, like it's mostly documented with like Node.js working with Mongo or Redis, but I mean, I had never heard about like database.
Oh, okay.
Storage.
Yeah, I mean, like Redis is great for a lot of things. Like Redis, you can use as a backing store for Socket.io also. I mean, Redis is a good, you know, very scalable storage solution. Table storage it works for some things. It kind of depends on your app if Redis makes sense or if Mongo makes sense or if table storage makes sense. Table storage is, like, you can store a lot of data in there. It's schemaless. It's extremely scalable. It's also super cheap. So, you know, if it's the right fit, like, I do like table storage in a lot of regards.
So where is table storage in your Azure?
It's under the storage. It's under the storage tab.
Under storage?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
There's the one I use. That's the one I use. So.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
I think we're out of time. I'll stick around for you guys who have other questions. I know they probably need to stop the recording. So, but I'll stay around without the mic on.